While we were down there, we prepared before we went, and we talked to your kids and these students about what it means to share your personal testimony, and how many of y'all can raise your hand and remember sharing your personal testimony. Go ahead, put it up. You know, about the story of when you met Jesus, right? And maybe you could think about it for a moment. When was the last time you thought about that story, or when was the last time you might have shared that story? These kids, they prepared their stories in advance, and they knew that they might be called upon to share their story at any moment. And we called it being Pastor Steve'd. And he looks at us and he says, "Brother, I want that one." And then he'll point at you and be like, "Come share your testimony for Jesus." And you're like, "All right, why not?" You know? And I don't know if anyone in here would be comfortable with being pointed at and being told, "Hey, come on up here and share your testimony." But it kind of makes you a little nervous when you're at church, right? To know that Dr. Fannin at any moment could be like, "Brother, come up here." He wouldn't say it like that, though. But I thought, if we could do it there, surely we could do it here. And I thought it would be an honor for you guys to get to hear some of the testimonies and stories from these kids. And I'd like to begin our service the same way we began our services over there, with personal testimonies. Before we dive into the Word, let's hear what Jesus has done in the lives of the people among us. And one gentleman started us off. He was our first testimony while down in South Texas in the Valley. And he did a fantastic job, and all of our kids did a good job sharing their story. But I do have a few that I'd like. So, Ellison, why don't you come on up here and you share your testimony first.
How's everyone doing? All right. Well, my name is Ellison. I'm a junior at Plainview High School. And recently, I just got back from this mission trip, which is really cool. So I guess I'm going to share my personal testimony. So I was saved in the seventh grade, but before I met Christ, I wasn't necessarily a bad kid. I went to a Christian private school. I was a really good student, had straight A's, knew the Bible, you know, up and down, all the stories that they could ever tell us as kids. But I knew I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I'd experienced doubts about my salvation. And I'd just say like a quick prayer, a Jesus save me prayer. But I knew I wasn't saved because nothing would change after that. And I remember it was one morning here in First Baptist Church. I was sitting in one of the pews right there. Dr. Fannin was giving the sermon. And I just knew I needed to make a decision. So I went down. And I got saved that day.
Amen. Way to go.
So a few weeks later on, my mom, she realized she needed to get saved. And later on, my dad did too. And we all got baptized on the same day.
Praise God.
So if there's anything you can take from my story, I was a good kid. But I didn't know Jesus. So it doesn't matter if you think you're such a good person or whether you think you're such a bad person. It doesn't matter because we're all level at the cross. And Jesus, he seeks relationship with you. He doesn't just want a religion, a list of things to do. He wants a relationship where you walk with him, where you talk with him, and live for him every day. And so that's kind of the challenge that God's put on my heart coming back from this mission trip, to bring that mission home here in Ardmore, in my school, in the community around me. So thank you, guys.
All right. Man, isn't this cool, right? Getting to hear these kids' testimonies. His mom's right back there, and he's right here. That's so fun. Dr. Fannin, you were even like, "Yeah, that's right." Up next, she's got her eyes closed because she's so nervous. And I will tell you guys this, whenever we were meeting, come on up here, Lysandra. When we were meeting a little bit before you guys got here, I asked, "Is anybody not going to share your testimony tonight?" And Lysandra did raise her hand like, "I won't." But you know what? Here she is. Let's give a big hand for Lysandra right here.
Hi, guys. So, I was baptized when I was 9. Before I was baptized, I really went to church and all that kind of stuff. Really didn't know Christ, but I went to church because my mom went to church. So, couple Sundays went by, and this person was actually getting baptized. So I asked my mom what it was, and she told me it's where somebody got saved and they got the word of Christ in their heart. So a few Sundays went by, maybe a month, and I asked my mom if I could get saved. So I got saved that Sunday. Don't remember the day, but I got saved that Sunday. And a couple years after that, I went to Falls Creek. That was my first time ever going to Falls Creek. Might have been like 2 years ago. And, you know, Jake was preaching, you know, best youth pastor ever. And it was this night that we were all in there, and he was using this, whiteboard to talk about our lives, and it was just all black marks, and he erased it. And I thought about that. That's how my life looks. So I was like, I need to change something. So that night, I got saved. But right now, I'm going through some medical issues. Really bad. So I have been going to a lot of doctors. But a lot of tests that it's been really hard on me. And when I had it, I really hated God because it happened to me and everybody. So I kind of like God. And that's kind of where I lost God, because I was like, why did it happen to me and everybody? So lots of doctor's appointments, still going to them now. But I haven't had a seizure in a good 6 months, which I'm really happy. So but I went on this mission trip to learn that God is still there for me, and he's still on my side, and he's never going to leave, and I learned so much about the people there. Actually, I had led somebody to Christ there, and that was like the best moment of my life. And now I'm here giving my testimony in front of a bunch of people. But, that's how I got saved.
All right. This next person is a very familiar face around here. You guys know her very well. She's grown up in this church, and she's a senior this year, and we're going to be sad to see her go and graduate. I call her Home Slice. This is Miss Anna Simmons. Come on down here, Anna. And share your story.
How are y'all doing tonight? All right, well, just like Home Slice had said, I was born and raised in this church. Every Sunday and every Wednesday, my parents, they would always take me, even if I'm being honest, or sometimes like, Mom, can I sleep in? Nope, we're going to church. That's how it always was. So one summer, I was at Vacation Bible School, and our own Dr. Bannon, he was up here preaching, and he was telling us the difference between heaven and hell. And I'd always heard about that because every Sunday, every Wednesday, just like I said, I was in church. And he also began to explain to us what salvation was. And I knew, I felt that tugging on my heart, and I knew just at that moment that I needed to be saved. So I came down to the front, and I talked to Dr. Fannin, and I got saved that day. And the next Sunday, I got baptized. And since I was so young, there really wasn't a change in my life. I just kept doing the same thing, and I was satisfied with that. I mean, I didn't, my six-year-old brain, I mean, my brain now doesn't even probably understand. Just kidding. I got it now, but I just didn't really understand, but I knew that I needed Christ, so I did get saved. And oh man, Dr. Fan, this is how you bang on this podium. I like it. All right. like I said, my life had just gone by doing the same thing. And a couple of years, sorry, I really, that's a really good feeling. Ooh, okay. So I was at Falls Creek a couple of years ago. And like I said, there's been no change in my life. And just like Ellison, I shared his testimony. I was a good kid. And I wasn't involved in bad things, but I was being very selfish with the gospel. And Jake was just like anybody here. They know Jake's really honest with us, and that's what we need. We need to hear the truth, and he doesn't sugarcoat anything with us. And that year at Falls Creek, I rededicated my life because I knew I needed to make a change. And so since then, I've been able to have so many opportunities going. This is my third year going on this mission trip, and I just want to thank you guys so much for all the donations and all the prayer you have prayed for us, because that is just such a great opportunity. And I've been able to lead others to Christ, and not only am I a good kid now, which that doesn't matter, it's just I'm able to show Christ to others and share Christ with others just through my actions and my words instead of just holding on to it in my heart. And so if you can take anything from my story, don't be selfish with the gospel. It's a mistake. We're called to so much more. We're called to go out and share and make disciples of all nations. And it doesn't have to be in a different city. It doesn't have to be in a different state. It doesn't have to be out of the country. We can start right here. And it's good to go to other places too. But if I just had anything to say for you guys to take away from my story, it's don't be selfish. Don't be selfish and shellfish. Man, we saw some shells at the beach. Let me tell you what. But this, go out and share, and don't be afraid, because this life is so temporary, but it matters about eternity. And if you're scared of what somebody's going to think of you sharing the gospel with them and they don't take it, you tried, and the blood's off your hands, and that's what we're called to do. So thank you for letting me share with y'all.
All right. That's it. Yeah, this is awesome. Hey, how many of y'all freaked out when that guy ran by you with a tambourine earlier? I mean, it's okay. You can be honest. We're Baptists, right? Malik, you're getting ready to go, so now you know. Now start thinking. But we brought in our tambourine player. He came, and I'll let him share with you how he got with our church. But he's recently been playing the tambourine with us on Wednesday nights in our crossover band. And we went down to this church, and Sunday morning, I got asked to preach pretty quick, like on the fly, like, all right, brother, you're going to share the word. And I'm like, oh, cool, let's do this. And as I'm sitting on the front row, much like Dr. Fannin would be sitting right now, we're worshiping and just singing in Spanish and in English, and it's beautiful. And this lady runs from the back and right in front of me just starts, like, tambourining. And she was not Baptist, all right? Like, it's safe to say, like, she's a convert who's still converting, you know, like she almost hit me with that tambourine several times, and I'm just like, whoa, watch out, I'm the guest pastor, don't hit me. But what I thought about that was, I hope Malik's watching and learning some sweet new tambourine moves by this lady, and she did a wonderful job. Malik, why don't you make your way on up here and come and share your story.
So Jake kind of bamboozled me. I wasn't expecting to do this. But how are y'all doing today? I'm glad to see y'all, you know. My story starts about a year and a half ago. I didn't know Christ at all. I knew there was a Christ, but I didn't know who he was or what his purpose was for me. So usually I'm used to seeing Trenzel out there, but him and Aubrey and Anna and Jaden, they all invited me over to FBC, and they're like, come and join with us, and it's fun. I'm like, yeah, all right. But I go over there, and it was like immediate love, and it just felt like home, so I started coming back more and more, and then they introduced me to Falls Creek, and I was thinking, I was like, I don't really want to go, I'm nervous. And they're like, come on, it'll be fun. So I got there, and the very first day, it was a night sermon, and Edward Newton was speaking to us, and he said, if you're tired of fighting and feeling alone, just come on down and let Jesus take it off of your shoulders. So I sat there, and I was just thinking, like, I'm not going to go down there. And we got back to the cabin that night, and Jake said those exact words, and I immediately just stood up and went on outside, and I got saved that night. Then the following Sunday, I got baptized right here It was an amazing feeling. And then 8 months later, I was on my first mission trip, leading people to Christ, and it's just been such a blessing. Honestly, the message I have for y'all is don't be afraid. Put everything into God, and He's got your back no matter what. And give all the glory to God, because without Him, it'd be impossible. Thank y'all, and have a blessed day.
All right. So, as I was saying, this guy, Steve Martinez, he could call upon anyone at any time to share their testimony. And I thought it'd be cool to show you not only do these students have a testimony to share, but also some of you have a testimony to share. And I figured we'll start at the top. And I'm going to ask Dr. Fannin to come on up here and share your testimony of how you came to know Jesus Christ. That's my boss.
I've been up here a few times. I've been a Southern Baptist since 9 months before I was born. That's how I always start my story. And I had perfect attendance during those 9 months. My family always went to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I can never remember a time when I didn't know about God, Jesus, and the Bible. But when I was about 7 years old, I began to sense that when we would have revival meetings, especially, I would hear the message and I would think, I don't think I've got inside of me what he's talking about. And I really knew I needed that. In fact, what convicted my little heart was I had told my mother a lie. And parents did this cruel thing to kids when I was a child. They made you pray this prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die. I mean, is that a great way to go to sleep? That has to be the cruelest prayer. And every night I'm praying that prayer, if I should die. And I knew I'd told this lie. I was under great conviction. We're in a revival meeting. And, you know, the preacher just said, if you need Jesus, come forward. And that's what I did. And that's all that happened. They sat me down. They filled out a card, put my name on it. And the next Sunday night, they baptized me. But you see, they forgot one thing. They forgot to tell me what it means to invite Jesus into your heart. They forgot to tell me that, yeah, Jesus wants to save you, but he has to have an invitation. So I never really prayed and accepted Jesus. Now, God's a gracious God, and I kind of floated along, but actually, on many occasions, I thought to myself, I still don't know if I have this straightened out. So when I was in the seventh grade, I was wrestling with this thought, do I have the Lord or do I not have the Lord? And beside my own bed, by myself, I fell on my knees and I said, Jesus, I don't want to wrestle with this anymore. I want to know for sure that you're in my heart and that you're my Savior. And the Lord really did save me at that time. And it took me a lot of years to work the details of that out. In fact, I went on through high school and college, became a preacher, and was in my second church when I became convicted one day that I needed to decide, okay, was I saved when I was seven or was I saved when I was in the seventh grade? I don't know why that became so important to me, but I literally locked myself in my office one morning and I said, God, I'm not coming out till this is completely straight. And God made it clear that I was saved when I was in the seventh grade. And then like a lightning bolt, it hit me. I've never really been baptized. You know, baptism only means something if you've been saved. And so I thought, here I am, pastor of the church. I need to present myself to be baptized. Once again, we were in the middle of a revival meeting. I said, okay, Lord. In obedience, I explained to the church what happened that very night. The evangelist baptized me in my own church that I'm the pastor of. What I discovered is that when you obey God, he uses it to bless lots of other people. And we had several other people in that church who had the same kind of struggles. They began to work those out. And that's part of how God brought revival to my heart. If you can take anything from my story, is that how you're supposed to do it? Yeah. Kind of had a feeling that's how you're supposed to do it. Then I would say, number one, be sure you know where you stand with the Lord. And then be sure you help others to come to know the Lord.
This is the part where Pastor Steve says, "All right, brother, share Jesus with the people." I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. And as you're turning there, I think I'm going to just do this, if that's okay. As you're turning there, I want to thank you again for letting us go on this trip. Our church is very blessed. And this is an amazing house of God. We have students that need scholarships and need help affording these kinds of things, and you guys always make sure that we get to go. We pay for a lot of equipment and supplies. We spend a few thousand dollars on supplies for this church as we're buying car parts, as we're buying paint, as we're buying wood and framing material, and even some donations were given from like base molding and things like ceiling fans. And I just want to thank you as a church for loving these kids and loving the gospel and sending us to go. Because this church could do all the work we did, probably better than high schoolers can do it, but they can't afford the supplies and the things they need. And because of your continuous giving to this church and your trust in our staff, we're able to bless not only FBC Ardmore and the community we're in, but we're able to go all over the world. Our church does a wonderful job giving to the International Missionary Board, IMB. And FBC Ardmore is changing lives all over the globe because of you and because of your trust in us. And so we thank you for that. I want to thank the adults who went with us and gave up their vacation time. This was one of the best trips we'd ever had down in South Texas. We took 35 total people. I took 13 young ladies and 10 young men and 12 adults. It wasn't just a youth trip. It was a church trip. And we went and we got to do some amazing things. Our age range was 15 to 60. And we had a carpenter there who worked so hard to make sure things were done well. He trained children, some that learn well and some that learn slow, how to use saws, how to use nail guns. I had an IT guy from the Noble Foundation go with us, where his primary job is to write code all day. And he came down and he didn't write code for these churches, but he opened up the engines of cars. He taught children how to change the oil, to change brake fluid, to change tires and rotate things around, stuff I don't even know how to do. I had so many people on this trip that were outside of their comfort zone, and it was just a reflection of this church presenting Jesus. And I have many more sponsors than the ones I named. And the people that go on this trip, thank you for doing that. But church, thank you for sending them. Family, thank you. Families, thank you for trusting us with your children in an area that the news tells us is very dangerous and very scary. But also, families, thank you for sending your spouses and your loved ones with us. This was my first trip not to go with my entire family, and that was really weird. Me and Jordan got to go because we want to do these things, and Jordan came down late with a student who got to sing in an NBA game, which is pretty cool. And we left Charlie behind. And that was really hard on my wife. That was really hard on me. But a one-year-old just wouldn't cut it down there with the workload we had. But maybe a two-year-old will. Who knows? We'll pray about it. We'll see what God does. But I want to take you guys with me, if you don't mind, through the Word and just look at this text and see what it has to say to us. We shared this with the students on the last night that we had gathered together. And I want to read it to you as a church family. It says this in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1 in the New Living Translation. "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God.
always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. I want to share with you more on this text, but before we do, let's pray and let's just ask the Lord to speak to us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, and God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for this week as students dove into your word every day. God, I pray that we as a church will look at your word with fresh eyes and an open heart, ready to hear from you. Lord, we pray right now that it speaks to us, that it transforms us, that it calls out to us, that it steps on our toes, and it also pushes us out the door. Lord, speak to us today. In your name we pray. Amen. If you look back at verse 1, it says this, "Therefore I was a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." This text is written by a guy named Paul. I think he's one of Dr. Fannin's favorites. He talks about him a whole lot. But what we know about Paul is that he's imprisoned and he's bound in chains and he is truly a prisoner. But something that's interesting about us is we can't necessarily call ourselves a prisoner for the Lord because we don't have chains and we don't have cells that we live in. In fact, many of the worship songs and many of the things we get to do are praising God for the freedom that he brings and the victory that he's given us. But we don't quite live up to the same standard that Paul did. Because in our freedom, we're silent. In our freedom, we're quiet. Where this man's trapped in jail, he's trapped in a cell, and he's sending letters, which is like a Bible Times text message to anyone he could. He's sending letters out, making sure people know what to do in obedience. But if we were to look at ourselves and say, man, I'm free in the name of Christ, I'm free in Jesus, are we living and speaking it freely? We're blessed to live in this great nation, which looks at religion and says that it should be open and we should be allowed to share. We aren't bound to one religion, but we get to express the true religion in this country. And we need to take advantage of that freedom before that freedom is taken away. We need to take advantage of the opportunity to step across our yards and go talk to our neighbors and just share with them the truth of Jesus Christ. I heard on a study the other day that, I think we talked about this in staff, that the generation coming up right now is 50% of them say it would be offensive or morally wrong to share Jesus with someone. And adults, grandparents, parents, be an example to your children to show that it would be morally wrong not to share Jesus with someone. These students need someone to look at and need to see in us the willingness and boldness to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And you might not think they're looking up to you, but I promise if they see you as a parent or a grandparent or an older brother or sister sharing the name of Jesus, then they too will be compelled to also do the same. Many of the testimonies of these kids are of how they came to this church by their family. And families, let's show them that it's not just at church that we worship and talk about Jesus, but it's everywhere we go. Verse 2 and 3. Paul gives a challenge for us to be united as one body, patient and loving through faults and failures, but also at peace with one another in times of fellowship. Church, if I could say, we do a lot of things very, very well, but sometimes something we don't do well is displaying unity. We feel, not because of our leadership, but because of the influence of the world, we feel that a young person's not going to listen to you because you're older than them. We feel that our sin can't be confessed and communicated because people will judge us and not look at us the same. We feel that peace is something that it's going to happen amongst my friend group, but it can't go much further than that. And I want to tell you that Paul calls us out and Paul gives us a direction to love one another, to be patient with one another. And let me tell you guys firsthand, my patience was tested the other day on the way home. Some Texas driver was not driving friendly. Can you believe it? And I'll tell you this, I thought I was going to lose my testimony in front of these students, but I did. I said, I wish not that this man's dog would die, but I wish he'll go to the vet and have a very expensive bill because of it. And I honked in our Enon Associational Church van as I passed him because he was terrible. He was clearly lost. You could tell by the way he was driving. But let's not talk about the lost world. Let's talk about the church world. And let's ask ourselves, is there peace and is there unity amongst us? Are we living in a way that we have fellowship and patience with one another? Or are we living in a way to where we can't forgive those around us because of things they've done either to us or to someone else? And have we pushed peace away from our hearts? Have we torn unity and said, nah, it can't happen? If unity can't happen in the church and in the body of Christ, then unity's not going to happen anywhere. Last two verses, verses 4 through 6, how I would like to close. The body of Christ is much bigger than the buildings of FBC Ardmore. The body of Christ stretches all across the globe. Stretches into parts of South Texas, reaches into places like Oklahoma City, New York, beyond our country and beyond our borders. The body of Christ is the church, capital C, the Christian people working together because they have a faith. As the text said, they have a faith of one Lord, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. The body of Christ is united and on mission because we've all been called to celebrate and make known the name of Jesus. But you, as Pastor Drew said this morning in Fusion, you can go and do good works. You can go and say nice things, but you can't go and share Jesus until Jesus has come and changed you. In church, as I look around, I see many familiar faces here on Sunday night, but also many young and new faces, many old and new faces. But just to say this, if you thought today as children and our pastors shared their testimony, I don't know if I've put my faith in the one true God. I don't know if I've put my trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here and there's a shadow of doubt in your heart, in your soul, you can leave this space with no fear, no doubt, no worry, but confidence in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God who came down to this earth to love us as the first missionary, to make his name known and to die for us, but to not stay dead, as we'll celebrate in a few short weeks, but to rise again so that we could have victory over our sin, victory over death, and victory in Christ Jesus. If you're here and you're thinking, I don't know where my story begins, but I'd like to begin my story, I want to let you know you can do that tonight before you leave. What I'd like to do is a very familiar thing with this church. David's going to come up and we're going to lead a time of invitation. But I'd like to ask you to go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads and just be still in this space.